We're doing Tehillim. We're up to the 58th chapter. Lam natzeach al tashchehit le David michtam. The following song, David HaMelech sings al tashchehit. Al tashchehit. What does it mean, al tashchehit? Al tashchehit. Do not destroy. The David Michtam. Remember, the previous chapter began the same way. Lam natzeach al tashchehit le David Michtam. And in the previous chapter, Rashi learned that the idea was, Hashem, please don't destroy me. And other commentaries learned that he had almost destroyed King Saul. So David HaMelech is saying, Lam natzeach, the conductor of the following song is Al Tashchit, don't destroy me, or don't let me destroy. Le David Michtam. To David, and what is Michtam? Remember, what did we say is Michtam? We said the Targum translates it as Mich. He was put down, and Tam, nonetheless, he is whole. And Rashi over here gives us an interpretation. I don't know what to make of this, that Rashi over here saw fit to explain Michtam. Earlier, Rashi had explained it based on a Chazal, that David HaMelech Makato Tama, that David HaMelech, he was born in perfection, he was born circumcised. But now Rashi gives us another interpretation, Shem Ni'imut Shil. It's a type of song. Type of pleasant tune or whatever, something to that effect. So okay, however we interpret this, let's see what David HaMelech says. Ha'umnam, in truth, Eilem tzedek tedaberun. Ha'umnam, Eilem tzedek tedaberun. Do you really speak truth? Are you really silent in truth? And this is two words that are contradictory. Ha'umnam eilem, in truth, are you silent? And tzedek tedaberun, and are you in truth when you speak justice? Do you really speak? When you speak, is what you're saying in justice? Ha'umnam, in truth, eilem, have you been silenced from tzedek tedaberun, the righteousness that you should be saying? And that's the interpretation that Rashi and the Metzuda go with, that David HaMelech said this song when he had the second opportunity to kill King Saul. When King Saul and his men gave chase after that story in the cave, so then one night they were sleeping, all his men were around him, everyone was sleeping, David and Avner snuck into the camp, they took the spear and the flask of water from next to Saul's head, and then they went over to the other side, and David HaMelech called out and said, Halotane Avner, Avner, why don't you answer now? And he woke everyone up and he said, Avner, tell me, where's the flask? Where's the spear? Is this how you take care of the king? What was David saying here? He says, you should have spoken up. You should have spoken on my behalf and told King Saul he should stop chasing me. And you should have told him that I could kill him more than once and I don't. But you don't. Ha'umnam eilem, have you been silenced? Tzedek tedaberun, from the righteousness you should speak. And this is David's perpetual sorrow with regards to King Saul. He repeats it again and again. He says, I understand the king made a mistake. I don't understand why there isn't one among his advisors who's standing up. So I was wondering the same thing in Congress. You know, I understand there's one leader doing one thing. Why aren't the Democrats standing up? It's their country too.
person if she doesn't come to your to doesn't come to your county to speak well of you? You don't care what you don't like it. But so, this is a proof that remember when he cuts the robe of the corner of his robe, that why he was punished for it, because he could have done something just like this.
Okay.
He didn't have to go that extra step. There was something wrong in that extra step that he took.
I hear. Now, Chazal tell us that there was more at play here. David HaMelech, in the previous chapter, was speaking about how he cut the corner of King Saul's coat, and he could have done worse, right? So, Chazal say that at that point, we see Shaul says, thank you, I realize you could have killed me, and I'll stop chasing you, come back. And then, very quickly, he's giving chase again. So Chazal tell us that afterwards, Avner said to Shaul, he says, you really think he could have killed you? We would have finished him off if anything would have happened. And the corner of the coat, you think he came that close to you? Must be that as you were passing by a bush, a corner got torn off and he brought that. So he caught a corner of your coat that got torn off without him. So at this point, that's what David calls out. Halo tane Avner. Why don't you answer now, Avner? You had all these stories beforehand. What are you going to say now? And that's a greater claim against Avner, and that fits with what we said earlier, that they were silent when they should have spoken up against Shul, and they spoke when they shouldn't have spoken against David. They were wrong on both fronts.
Interesting, the Targum that he brings, he translates the word Balaam and Bepushtan. Seemingly those are the same meaning.
Okay.
And Rashi even brings that when he translates the word Aval, he brings Kushta from the Targum, and he brings Baram from Bereshit Rabbah.
Fair, I didn't remember that.
The brothers say.
Yeah. Yefe. Ha'umnam eilem tzedek tedabirun, meisharim tishpetu b'nei adam. Do you judge people fairly? Af be'lev olot tifalun. And in your hearts, you're really planning things that are unfair, unkind. Olot over here comes from the word avla. It's not only that you didn't speak positively about me, but in your hearts, you're thinking sinful thoughts. Ba'aretz chamas yideichem tifaleisun. Ba'aretz, throughout the land, Hamas yideichem tefaleisun. You try to straighten, to cover up the thievery of your hand. Hamas over here is open thievery. So David is coming with strong claims against them. Hamas yideichem tefaleisun. This is really what we would call propaganda. When a king goes out and kills his people and then says they were Al Qaeda. Hamas yideichem, the thievery or the treachery of your hand, tefalesun, you straighten out throughout the land through propaganda. You sell yourself throughout the land. You make it as though what you did was 100% right. So that's David's claim. Zohu reshaim merachem. The wicked, from their mother's womb, they are estranged from Hashem. Ta'umi be'etin doverei chazav. And those that lie, they have veered off the path from the time they came out of their mother's womb. So again, this is a difficult pasuk. What does that mean? They're wicked from the time they're born. So I think the understanding of the pasuk is different. Every child lies. Every child is egotistical. The wicked person is one who never takes time to change. You'll notice that when you view wicked people, it sometimes seems childish. Look at what Turkey's doing. Doesn't it seem childish? Look at what Syria's doing. It's like a child's taken the throne and zero consideration for what's right or wrong. I will rule. If I have to kill you, I will rule over you. Now, if it wasn't real, we'd say it was a child talking. If you stop and you think about it, even if you think about Hitler, think of the wicked people in history. There was something tremendously childish to the point where I'm willing to do anything just so I stay in power. I will lie, I will cheat, I will steal. That's not usually the way we describe a mature adult. So I think the understanding of Zohu Me'reshein Me'rachem, it's not that, oh, he's such a wicked thing from the time he was a baby. It's that he's taken those traits that are there from the time a baby is born. A baby doesn't care if he wakes up his mother. He shouldn't care. But you know what? If he's 13 years old and he doesn't care if he wakes up his mother, there was a joke someone once told me about his sibling. He's a baby. I said, what do you mean he's a baby? He's 15 years old. He tells me, what do you mean? When he wants a drink in the middle of the night, he wakes up his mother. You want him to pour his own drink? Mommy, I'm thirsty. 15 years old. So I don't know if he meant it or didn't mean it. I wasn't going to find out. But that's a person that held on to being a child and self-centered and egotistical and having the capacity to hurt anyone just to protect themselves. He's maintained that immaturity and then he's just grown with it. And sometimes you see it. Sometimes you have the children of a big boss. So they take the helm when the person gives them over the business and they destroy the business in no time at all. Like a president that does trillions of dollars of debt. What's wrong with you? Yeah, you take the helm and you don't begin to know what it means to give and care. You just work theoretical things. So then anything can go. Zohu reshaim merachem. And that, I think, is possibly the pshat, that the wicked, they are estranged from Hashem from the womb. What does that mean? They also had a chance. But they've maintained that same childish, egotistical approach. Chamat lamo, kidmut chamat nachash. They have anger, and their anger has venom like a snake. Kimo feten cheresh yatem ozno, and they are like a type of vicious snake. That's a snake that cannot be charmed. It's called the deaf snake. That's a way of saying you cannot charm that snake because he's disinterested. All he wants is to spill his venom into others. And by the same token, these wicked people have the anger like a snake, and just like a snake cannot be charmed, nor can they be convinced to change their ways. Asher lo yishma lekol melach hashim, just as the snake won't listen to those who try to charm it, chover chavarim, mechukam, or those that used to be chover chavarim, or those that knew how to enchant all kinds of animals, not only snakes. So they used to have incantations to charm animals. They could never enchant this petin, this deaf type of snake. So by the same token, these people, they can't be convinced to change their ways. This is the way they are. Elohim haros shineimo befihimo. Hashem, destroy their teeth and their mouth, take away their capacity to do harm. Malteot kefirim netot Adonai. And malteot is another word for teeth. Those are the molars. Malteot kefirim. I think in modern Hebrew too, the malteot are the molars. The inner teeth, the back teeth. The teeth that herbivores don't have, only carnivores have. Malteot kefirim, the molars of the animals that devour, nitots, smash Hashem. Yima'asu chimomaim, kitalechu lahamo, let them melt like water, and let them pass. Yidroch chitav, kimo yitmolalu, and Hashem should pull his bow and arrow against them, and they should be like things that are quickly uprooted. Kimo yitmolalu, they should quickly be subdued, they should quickly be uprooted. So again, he's talking about Jews here. He's talking about Avner Ben-Ner, chief general. But he's saying, what kind of chief general are you? If you perpetuate lies against me, if you're willing to stand silently by as my father-in-law tries to kill me when I've done him no harm, so you're worthless. You've silenced yourself from righteousness. You are corrupt. And you cover up your corruptness with lies, with propaganda. You are of the wicked whose paths are continuous from the time they leave the womb. They are wicked. They are estranged from Hashem. You allow yourself to have anger like a snake that could never be enchanted. You're like a snake that no one can convince. So too, you will not change your ways. And so the only thing left to do is ask Hashem to destroy your power, to take away your molars, your teeth with which you devour. Let your strength melt like water, and may Hashem pull his bow and arrow against you. Kmo shablul temes yahaloch. Just like the shablul, some kind of slug that melts as it moves, it leaves behind the guk, so it seems like it's melting as it advances. Nefeleshet balchazu shamesh. You should fall like that animal that's called an eshut. That's an animal that's blind. It doesn't see. It never sees the sun, and therefore, what?
A mole?
Maybe it's a mole. We don't know. The Mishnah in Moed Katan discusses an eshut. Maybe it's a mole. I don't know. It's this blind animal that never knows when it suddenly gets killed. Nefel eshet, this creature falls, it gets killed, bal chazu shamesh, and never saw the light of day. So too they should fall, so too Avner Ben-Ner. Beterim yavinu sirotechem atad. Beterim, before, yavinu sirotechem atad. Before your thorn branches should give forth to thorns, meaning before you have children, before you have a future to continue your wicked ways, just like something that's uprooted by someone healthy, just like something that's uprooted out of anger, where you uproot something and you leave no remnant, by the same token, David wishes Avner Ben-Ner and all his enemies be uprooted without any future. No children, no future. Wow, what a chapter. How does David end the chapter? Yismach tzadik, ki chazan hakaham. The tzaddik's happy when he finally sees revenge. Pe'amav yirchatz bedam harasha. And as he walks, he will cleanse his feet in the blood of the wicked. What a pasuk. And this brings us back to that pivotal point in Tehillim and in general in the Jewish approach to life, that we say it's not enough to love that which is good, it is also important to hate that which is evil. And you see it here, clear as day. V'yomar Adam, ach peri la tzadik, ach yesh Elohim, shofetim ba'aretz. And when a person sees that, then people will say, I see that there's fruits, there's payback for a person's being righteous. V'yomar Adam ach pri la tzadik. When you pay them back, David says, then people will say, wow, it was worth it to be a tzaddik. Look at the fruits he bore. Ach yesh Elokim shoftim ba'aretz. Look, God does do justice in the land. And even if that guy seemed to be getting away with things, ultimately Hashem paid him back. Wow.